Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This one is hot and sizzling.
Get up in it. Start a rub. Get a watchdog. Farm a roller up. Big wheels. Cadillac grilled up. Keep your ass up. Daddy got the deal.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson writes about sports for 98.5, the Sports Hub. His proclivity for the Boston Bruins. Hello, Ty Anderson.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, my friend, if you only knew what was going on, you'd be hurting. I'll tell you that.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
No clue.
If I'd be any better, it'd be a sin. All right.
Again, I have no idea. Okay,
well, that's a phrase. All right. Ty Anderson, who has many tattoos, he covers the Bruins now. Tell me about this youngster, this defenseman. He is a right shot defenseman, left shot defenseman. Where are we at?
He's a left shot defenseman. Juro Vakanainen, I think is how you say it. I mean, the first name I'm still not sure about. I don't know if it's like Urho or Juro or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's a left shot defenseman, 6'1", known as a pretty steady guy in his own zone, if you will. But he also has a little bit of offensive touch there. I mean, it's not really, you don't really see it in the Finnish league too much. He was a teenager playing against grown men. Which obviously 3 years of that makes him more NHL ready than most seem to think.
Mm-hmm.
He would like to make the NHL out of camp this year. I don't really know if that's necessarily possible, especially if this team does indeed make a trade for a defenseman. But I think there's a lot of promise there with his game. You know, his teammates over in Finland raved about him. They thought that he was great at being a shutdown guy. But he's one of these guys. I still think he's a year, 2 years out.
Where do you think the Bruins are? Because you've been also covering what, you know, Sweeney has been saying afterwards, and basically where the heads at are of the people who are going to pick, you know, basically pick the groceries during the offseason. Do you think that they're content letting the team that finished the season, except for the parts where they need to replace because of contracts being up, essentially move on and go into next season? Or are they like, we got so close and we've got something special here? We need to invest something big and try to make a push for the cup this year.
You know, I think it's a little bit of both in the sense that they're not going to tie themselves down to the bottom six in the third pairing defense. I think that if there's a move to be made, they will make it. I think they've outlined that number two defenseman on their left side behind Chara is their number one priority.
That's the spot.
Very small.
Yep.
So the Krug and Grizzlick are very small. And so the big rumor is, or the train of thought is that Krug is not long for this team.
No, I mean, you can't have, I don't think you can have two guys that are 5'9" and sort of be, they're your number two and number three pairing defensemen. I think that they're too redundant. They're 5'9", they're both left sticks. I think Krug is a lot better offensively than Grizzlick. Grizzlick does a lot of things well, too, at the same time. It's just a matter of, you know, are you a Stanley Cup team with those two guys in there? I think that size has been overrated. You look at the Capitals, they had Christian Jus on their team. This guy was 6'1", he's like 165 pounds.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy. He's taller, but he's not big, you wouldn't say. But no, I think that they've identified that. That is a spot they're going to fix. I think that they've run out of excuses not to at this point. You know, they've sort of waited for someone to step up and emerge out of that group, and it's happened on the right side with McAvoy and Carlo, but it hasn't happened on the left side just yet.
Because they've invested a lot of draft capital on that side too, correct?
Yeah, you have Zboril, Lazan, obviously Vakanainen now. If you want to go even deeper, you're talking about Wiley Sherman, you're talking about Emil Johansson. There's a lot of guys on that spot, and you know, Zboril, he's one of just a few defensemen from the top 60 of that draft class not to be in the NHL right now. So this is a big camp for him, too.
So to that end, the big trade rumor of the last couple of days is Noah Hanifin, who is a big guy. He's 6'3", Boston guy, went to Boston College. Actually, I think was playing at BC when he was 17. So it seems like that would be a trade target that would fit in quite well. The problem is Carolina wants Jake DeBrusk back, and the Bruins aren't going to do that.
No, I think, you know, if it's Danton Heinen or if it's Anders Bjork, they're willing to listen to it more. But You know, DeBrusque, this kid is a gamer. You saw it last postseason. He was one of the few bright spots in that second round. Even when everything was going out the window, you're like, okay, he still looks pretty good. And he was hurt. You know, so I think that, yeah, DeBrusque, you're talking about a big package. You're talking about similar to what the Rangers paid for McDonough.
Big package.
Well, no, it's but you're talking about, you know.
I'm talking about balls.
It's been that kind of morning.
Stephen A. Smith over here.
Just walking in at the end of that kind of morning.
No, just throwing out word association.
Yeah. It's just like, the look on your face was spectacular.
We're just playing the great. Pyramid.
Big package. Balls.
Talking about the pyramid. Balls.
Like, where do you go from there?
Doesn't matter.
All right. Well,
you sit with it.
Yes, you do. All right. Yeah. Since we've already drew another round, you wrote an article that got me legitimately excited about a certain player because I know nothing about what the hell's been going on with Ilya Kovalchuk over the last few years. I mean, he's been with the KHL and his numbers have been great, but I also don't know a ton about like the type of competition he has. Like, how skewed are these numbers compared to what you would do in the NHL? On top of that, like, I haven't been paying attention to Ilya Kovalchuk's career while he's been overseas. But now that I look at the numbers and everything that you wrote, you've got me excited because this is a guy that apparently, even at 35 years old, has a ton to offer, and the Bruins they're interested.
Yeah, no, they're really interested. And you know, if I'm a Bruins fan, I'm feeling pretty good about their chances of signing him.
Now, why is that? Because I know that, is it DeBoer? He used to be his coach when he was with the Jersey.
Yes.
So, and now he's with the Sharks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so people are saying that that's probably the team that has the biggest lead on getting Ilya
Kovalchuk. Why would he want to be with the coach from New Jersey when he voluntarily left New Jersey?
I think they had a good relationship from everything I've read.
Yeah, they had a great relationship. He trusted him in every situation, every scenario. I mean, he moved him to the right wing at one point, and Kovalchuk loved it. I mean, he embraced it. He was with Parise, and I think their center was Adam Henrique at the time. But no, this is a guy that I really think the Bruins have a leg up here because of the fact that they have the most cap space to work with.
For the people who don't know Kovalchuk, could you just kind of tell him about his game? Plus, like,
he's got to be in his...
He's 35.
He's 35.
He's 35,
yeah, because
5 years in Russia, he's 35.
Yeah, I used to watch him in... Atlanta when I had season tickets.
Number one draft pick, right?
He's a goal-scoring machine in Atlanta.
Yep. Yeah, number one overall pick from 2001. I mean, you know, he's one of these guys. He's 6'3", so he has some size to him. He also has an absolute rocket of a shot. He's a right shot. He prefers playing the left side, but he has played the right side before. I just think that he checks off so many boxes for them. You know, for me, I wrote about this, that if you're debating between Rick Nash and Kovalchuk, it's Kovalchuk every single time because he has the size element and he has a better shot. And I just think that he's more of a, you know, you know what you're getting. I think you look at his postseason resume; he's always produced there. You don't have to worry about that.
Rick Nash.
Yeah, exactly. But he has been away from the game, so if you worry about that. Look at Radulov. He came back to the NHL from the KHL, and he was great. Look at Jagr. He came back with the Flyers in 2011, 2012. He was awesome for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't worry about him being away from the game for a few years. If anything, I think it helps him. You know, the fact that you have shorter seasons, it's not as physically taxing of a league. You know, and I think that allows him to step right in here, and he'd be in your top six, so he'd be in a good spot right away.
Well, you said you would pick him over Nash, you know, 100 times out of 100. What about money-wise? Like, how do the two compare? Like, what's he looking at right now? What does he want?
I think anywhere, you know, probably between 5.75 and 6.25 per year on a 2 or 3 year deal. I think that if it's an extra year, there's a concession on money or vice versa. You know, I think that if it's shorter term, it's more money. But I do think that, you know, that really checks off their boxes for them. You know, because they want to have this long-term flexibility here. They want to be able to sign McAvoy to a big contract. They want to sign Donato and DeBrusque and Hine and all these guys eventually. If, you know, the ones that aren't traded will be re-signed. You know, talking about that sort of, you know, the package, if you will, for the number two defenseman there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
but no, I think that, you know, that would allow them to have that flexibility still moving forward. They have a two-year window here where they can really spend big, I think,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets dicey. So a two-year deal at 5.75 or 6 mil, it works for them.
And that's where you want to put your money. Like, you think that would be one of the best places to put it?
Yeah, and I think you may have to make another decision elsewhere, if that's trading Torey Krug or if that's, you know, trading an Adam McQuaid, something to just help you trim the roster a little bit. And free up some money. But ultimately, they have money to spend this year. I would rather spend it on Kovalchuk than John Carlson, you know, for 8 mil. I would rather take a 2-year gamble instead of a 6 or 7 year gamble on one of these UFAs. And you look at the market's not that great. I mean, it really is Rick Nash, Kovalchuk, or an internal option, in my opinion.
Now, are they better than Tampa Bay at this point? Like, if they would have had Kovalchuk this year, do you think they would have gotten over that hump?
Yeah, they would have they would have three lines that would be really tough to sort of game plan against instead of one. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking about, you know, your left side, let's say you keep Kovalchuk on the left side. Your left side is Marchand, Kovalchuk, DeBrusk. That is really tough to game plan for us here at team.
Yeah.
So I think they look at it from that you know, standpoint, saying, okay, well, if we can't get that number two defenseman, why don't we just load up and have one of the best top nines in hockey, which they could definitely do if they had Kovalchuk.
When can they sign him? Like, when's the earliest they could sign him?
You know, I think they can get an agreement, you know, as soon as a week. You know, I don't know when it becomes official, if you will, but I think that's sort of, this is what this whole process is. I know they have some meetings with him scheduled. You know, I think that, I give him the inside edge. I really do. I just think that everything you hear is pretty positive about what he's looking for and then sort of what the Bruins can offer. I think it all sort of lines up there. So this is a player that I would honestly spend the money on.
All right, so Ty Anderson, you can read all his stuff at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't know. It's just a thing with me, you know. If I see something that I like, I have to go for it. And I like what I see, baby. Come here. I got real bored on Friday night. I couldn't.
Well, this isn't nice.
So I pulled out.
I tweeted out the picture of you, Fred, from yesterday, and Greg Bedard, friend of the show, just tweets the word no. Just
was
who
that,
is he to talk? Just the word no.
Was that his business
nice
plan? He just saw the business model.
He just tweeted no.
I've
nice
seen Greg Bedard dressed up. I'm telling you, Fred, you got him. It's even at worst.
That's not very nice,
Greg Bedard. Who are you to talk?
That's not very nice.
Now
there.
Maybe Greg's lost a few pounds since I saw him last, but
lost a few bucks.
Well, yeah.
So, I actually don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know either, but I'm just saying, Greg, keep inside your glass house. Don't throw anything sharp at
it. I'm aware that I'm not attractive. There's no question about it.
So you look like an extra from the film Rounders who lost all of his money to Ed Norton. Mm. Okay. Now this is good. Now, you got to admit this is good. Someone said, people forget Fred's short-lived marriage to Liza Minnelli, and it's the guy. What was that guy's name? David. The guy, look at what happened to my head. It's indented. Remember that from the 60 Minutes interview?
Yes.
She hit me with a pan. My head. It's indented.
He was obviously very sexually attracted to Liza Minnelli.
David Guest. That was his name. That's right. Which was one of the all-time weird interviews that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dave.
He was very into her sexually. They had a terrific marriage.
He just said dead or alive. He's
dead.
Gotta
be
dead.
He's got to be dead.
He actually died last year.
Yeah. He's got to be dead.
David Guest did?
Yeah.
Is Liza Minnelli still alive?
Yes, I believe she is.
She's got to be dead.
Keep taking those pills then, because they obviously don't have
an
effect.
When do we play Dead or Alive next? We've had enough of these over the last 5 days.
It's an easy thing to throw together.
I guess we can do that.
You need Journey and this. All right, so anyway, there's I'm ugly, and you can comment on that at Fred Tudger on Instagram. This, I don't know, I think this might be in Canada. It doesn't really say. But it's, I saw this on Deadspin. There's a guy who's 12 years old, and he's 6'9", and regardless, that probably sucks, and it's
Whoa.
Not fun. Yeah, he's 6'9", and he's 12 years old.
And he's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got to suck, and it can't be any fun.
Because, and I'm not trying to sidetrack you here, but if you're 12 and you're 6'9", what is your ceiling? Like, how tall they say they're going to be.
Yeah,
because you don't stop growing for another 5 years.
Who knows? But they play wherever he's playing. They play on 8-foot rims.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh.
That's awesome.
But what 12-year-old league plays on 8-foot rims?
I played on 8-foot rims until I was in 5th grade.
Oh, boy.
Maybe not even that. Maybe
they
it was
stopped
like
in 3rd grade.
Yeah, maybe it was 3rd grade.
Yeah,
now that I think
where
about
I am,
it.
It's 3rd grade. My kids are in 2nd grade. They played on an 8-foot rim for the last year this year.
Yep, 3rd grade. I think you're right.
I bet you anything, my son's just turned 10, and he's 5'1". And I bet you that there's a chance that he could touch the top of the net in an 8-foot rim. So, it's ridiculous. What 12-year-old basketball team's playing on an 8-foot rim? You're not conditioning them to be any good.
Yeah, you're in 7th grade if you're 12. Like, why are you playing on 8-foot rims if you're in 7th grade? It's 12 to 13 is 7th.
Yeah, 12 to 7th grade. Yeah, exactly. And if you're 6'9", why are you playing against other 12-year-olds?
I just saw the big guy have a shot blocked, though. The kid came out and blocked the shot.
He's going to dunk without jumping.
That's true.
Yeah, he dunks without jumping, and all the kids are doing is just feeding him. And, like, the poor kid's trying to defend him. It's like, what do you want me to do?
Well,
what can I do?
It's funny because there's kids, like, actually celebrating, like, when he scores. Like, congratulations. Kid's got an outside shot, too, on the 8-foot rim, which will do him a lot of good.
Oh, and he's just rejecting all these toddlers. He's just like absolutely
They're not toddlers. They're 12 years old.
But next to him, they're toddlers.
No, I know. But if you're first, there's a bunch of things wrong. First of all, the 8-foot rim is driving me insane. And second of all,
he literally just dunked the ball and didn't leave his feet.
Why would you, if you were blessed with a 6'9" child
hung on the rim. What is that?
If you are blessed, you guys are commenting on a video no one's watching.
But I'm doing play-by-play.
Yeah, fair enough. Which is not good. But if you are 6'9", and why in the hell would your parents put you in some league with 12-year-olds?
Because your friends are playing.
No, that's not how things work.
You play them up.
He gets to be with his friends all day. No, yeah. You play him up.
I wonder if they can't.
Oh,
for
you
like
can
insurance
absolutely.
Reasons,
you can absolutely play
how
him up.
How many great French basketball players have there been? I mean, Tony Parker obviously is one, but how many?
Diaw?
Boris Diaw. Good call there by you.
Yabusele?
I don't know. Do we call
Pierre-Sean Yabusele?
Do we call him great?
Greatest.
Okay. Boris Diaw stay right. He might still be
Boris
playing.
Boris Diaw was excellent.
He's still playing.
Yeah,
but I was
in Atlanta when he got drafted.
Yeah, he's still playing. But I'm thinking if I am the head of whatever basketball, whatever federation runs French basketball, you play this kid up, you get him ready.
Yeah, yeah. The better question is why at that age aren't they playing on 10-foot rims?
Well, that's annoying to me, but also is the fact that you have to at some point say that the kid's 6'9", he should be playing against adults.
Yes. Like, now.
Now.
There's got to be some sort of weird insurance reason.
There's not.
If you don't want to put them in there against pros, I mean, there are kids overseas that turn pro and they're 14 or 15. This kid's not that far from that.
What kind of, because he can't play for the high school. He can't because he's not in high school.
But he can play AAU or whatever the equivalent is because I believe it's all like 16 and under or 15 and under.
Yes.
It's not, you know.
Get this kid ready for international play. I mean, France with a kid like that might actually have a shot.
I mean, they're playing
in the Olympics at some point.
They're playing like in an elementary school. They're playing at a middle school.
Oh yeah, there's a nice sea creature on the wall there, the gym.
it's just annoying. You will keep talking about a video that you realize you're on the radio.
I know, but I can't help myself. All right. It's just so weird.
Steve has info about. Okay, apparently this guy's in Canada. Steve, right. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So I actually owned a professional basketball team up in Canada,
and
I'm from the Boston. We moved up there and started this team. And one of the things they do is they play on 8-foot rims, so they're like 13. And the reason why they do that is because they're saying that it builds their skill level better than if you try to overcompensate with a shot and you're going at 10 feet. So that's their...
So they're building fundamentals because a 10-year-old kid who's shooting on a 10-foot rim is having to basically use a chest pass to get the ball up. Okay, that's understandable.
So the tall guy, that doesn't make sense. But
I actually understand what you're saying because you don't get a fundamentally correct shot for most kids because you can't physically get the ball up unless you don't use the right shooting. Okay,
you're literally doing a chest pass. Now, yes. I mean, that's why a lot of Canadians out there, they're not as great as the United States basketball players, but it is getting a lot better. It's a hotbed. Because you can see there's a lot more skills and fundamental, a la Steve Nash and,
Wiggins.
Wiggins, because they have a little bit more dribble, a little bit more better fundamentals. So just want to give you a heads up on that.
All right, okay, so why is this 6'9 kid playing with 12-year-olds?
So part of the other reason that I would understand is because they're not allowed to move up until a certain age. They're just not. It's just like one of those weird quirks in the rules that tell you once you hit I believe it's 13 or 14 they can start playing with 15, 16, 17 year olds. Once you hit 13 or 14 is when they start to go to 10-foot rims. So he has to stay where he is by the rules.
That's ridiculous.
By the governing body.
You make an exception. You might actually be hurting this kid's game. Why?
Well, of course you're hurting his game.
Oh, you definitely are. Like, I've gone to a ton of those, like, you know, middle school and elementary school tournaments, you know, to do promotions, and there's tons of tall kids, and you're definitely stunting their growth 100%.
Absolutely.
But there's nothing you can do because, it's all run by politicians, and, you know, they want to keep it all, like, organized and tight. You know, it's a pretty tight, tough bureaucratic type of deal up in Canada with basketball. So
it must be. All right, well, thank you for that information. The 8-foot rim thing actually makes sense. Because for 10-year-olds to get the ball up, they can't use the proper mechanics unless you absolutely, force them. Because the inclination is to do, it's a chest pass. I mean, the best thing you can do, the most you can do is have their shooting hand, have them flip their wrist to get the proper spin. But, yeah, they can't shoot from a correct position anywhere 5 feet. I mean, a free throw maybe, but that's about it. But then again, you know, I'm involved in the youth game, you know? I'm a bit of a mentor for the kids.
I can see that.
They see me out there.
Sure.
Razzle dazzle style. Oh, look at me. I'm pregnant. I got the ball in my shirt. Hey, look. It's confetti.
Freddy basketball.
Freddy hoops.
Yeah.
Freddy two hoops. In the ears.
Two hoops.
In the ears and half court, lefty righty. Swish.
I see.
All right. What's going on there, Rich? What are we going to talk about?
Kyrie Irving has a brand new song that he has recorded on the Uncle Drew soundtrack.
He is so famous and so multi-talented.
Well, we will find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out just how talented he is.
I bet you it's great. And you know what would be really hard to do is have a bunch of really famous producers and spend a lot of money and create a rap song. It'd be almost impossible in this day and age to make something that sounded well. With an unlimited budget and all the technology.
Well, it didn't work for Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball just was screwing around. This is something that I would imagine is for mass consumption.
By the way, do you realize they told Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma to stop, to cut it out?
Because it started to get like they were being friendly, and then you could tell that there was a bit of...
It was getting really personal.
Yeah, that it was getting a little bit too much.
Yeah.
All right, so we will hear Kyrie Irving, the very famous Kyrie Irving, a man who's going to carry a major motion picture. We will hear his rap song, hear the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Kutcher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. What is going on?
Just real quick, before we get to the Kyrie Irving song. So, Fred, I know you want to see that movie Tag that comes out this weekend.
I do.
It's based on a true story about a group of friends who have played a game of tag that's lasted, I think, like 20-something years. I know it's got John Hamm in it. It's got the Arrow guy from the Marvel movies. It's got 61% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. So it sounds like it's not a waste of time. Sounds like it might be a pretty good movie. However, there is a movie that I just watched the trailer for. Do yourself a favor. After the show's done, go and watch the trailer for Gotti. The John Travolta.
John Travolta. It's 10 years.
Sean Gotti.
Yeah, he's been trying to do that for 10 years.
It is the greatest thing since...
Ryan is dead!
It looks like the hammiest, over-the-top. Like, he's making that face the whole time.
Do you?
And as I'm watching this, I'm looking at like... Who directed this? This looks like every stereotype of every mob movie, like them all standing by the, you know, but in the graveyard and like the rain's falling. And then it looks like we got to take this guy out. Never turn against family. And I look at who the director is. And Fred, you know who it is? Kevin Connolly from Entourage.
Whoa.
I mean, it looks so atrocious. Anyone like to guess what Rotten Tomatoes has given Gotti? What percentage of positive reviews did Gotti receive?
Zero?
Oh, Freddie T! It's the rare donut. I don't remember the last movie to have 0% positive on Rotten Tomatoes, but Gotti has it. And like, I mean, and the reviews are pretty scathing. The film's terrible. Poorly written, devoid of tension, ridiculous in spots, and just plain dull and otherwise. They said that Gotti provides a disturbing example of... What's that?
I'm looking at the list of movies that have gotten zeros on Rotten Tomatoes. And you know what's number one right at the top of the list?
What's that?
Another Travolta movie.
Battlefield Earth.
No.
Ooh.
No.
Something worse than Battlefield Earth?
It might
Earth?
Be on there, but I haven't gotten to down that far yet.
Perfect.
No.
Okay. Is it a newer Travolta movie?
Yeah. No. Older.
Oh, it's a bad... Okay. So not like...
Stallone's involved.
Throw Mama from the Train.
Hang on. Stallone and Travolta?
Yep. I don't think they're together. I think Stallone directed it.
Oh. I don't know why.
And there's a movie, they like pass each other on the street. Staying Alive.
Staying Alive 0%?
That's what it says here.
Oh, okay, because Saturday Night Fever was the big one. That's right. Staying Alive is a sequel. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that probably makes sense. I mean, that was fairly awful.
Max Steel, Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever, the original, was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't bad.
That's what it says here.
All right. Well, by the way, there's one movie out there that I do want to see because...
Mac and Me, too, by the way.
Well, Mac and Me. I mean, listen.
Mac and Me was sad.
Highlander 2.
Okay. Well, the quick
Wagons East, that John Candy vehicle.
Well, I mean, who would have thought that would have been a bad
zero
movie?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
I think he died during that.
He might have. I want to see Hereditary because everyone's saying that this movie, it's like you hear this claim a lot, but they're saying that legitimately this movie is the scariest film since The Exorcist.
Yes, I've heard that.
So that I do want to see. And the reviews are really good on that too. That got 92%. But let's get to a movie that, okay, we should predict the Rotten Tomatoes scale for Uncle Drew when it comes out. In 2 weeks.
It's okay. So it's a lighthearted thing that is directed towards children, so it won't be zero.
So I got a screening notice for Uncle Drew.
Okay, so they are
going to screen it, so that is a good sign.
Yeah, that is a sign that it won't be zero. I'll say that it hits at 25%.
I was going to say 20.
I'm going to say that some people are going to just say, well, this movie knows what it is, and they're going to give it like 40.
Well, no, see, I think people are going to say this movie knows what it is and give it 25%.
You think so? Because people like that what's his name? Hal Ray, or the guy from Get Out's in it, and that Tiffany Haddish, who everyone loves, she's in it as well. So I think there's going to be some people who are going to give it some sympathy points because they're like, all right, they know that they're making a dumb movie, and this is what it is.
All right, so Kyrie Irving's... But Kyrie Irving, is he on the poster?
Oh, yeah. He's right in the center. Front and center.
Is his name before Tiffany Haddish in these other people?
I wouldn't doubt it. Let me see.
He's not a star.
He is a star.
No,
see, that's
not.
Where you and I disagree. No,
You're too into the NBA. He's not a star. He's not a transcendent star.
I guarantee you more people know who Kyrie Irving is than Tiffany Haddish.
Fair enough.
Tiffany Haddish, like a couple weeks ago, was on SNL, and I had to look up who she was.
All right, fine. Then they know who it is more than Tiffany Haddish. But I will say that Kyrie Irving's not a transcendent star, a man who can carry a vehicle a film.
I mean, he's an athlete, so that's going to be strange. And by the way, yes, his name is first, but they do name like everybody else who's in the film as well, okay. Including Nick Kroll. How about them? Him getting some poster time.
I think Nick Kroll legitimately did it because he wanted to hang out with basketball players.
It's not a bad gig. So here is Kyrie Irving, who has a song on the soundtrack. This is called Ridiculous, featuring Lunch Money Lewis. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that lunch money?
Yes, any money. Here we go. Hey.
In living color.
It's selling it. I think it's supposed to kind of be a throwback because he's old.
This is ridiculous.
Well, it's definitely supposed to be a throwback.
Right. When does he start rapping?
Ridiculous. So for real, I can't be rain.
Throw your hands up if you just. Yeah, it's got the Velvet DeVoe drum track.
Yeah, that's.
I just like that they're supposed to be so old because they were alive when Velvet DeVoe was around.
Right, it's like, what, 20 years
ago?
Yeah,
like they have, like, you know, gray hair and long beards. And
their old farts.
Yeah, like...
So I got it. If they're 70, let's assume that they're 75.
Okay.
That would have meant they were 50
when Velvet DeVoe...
if that's the way they're trying to line things up,
right.
I don't know if that's quite the plot line or...
No, it would be more like they were listening to the Superfly soundtrack.
You would probably think
so. Or not even, that they were listening to, like, Buddy Guy.
Yeah, so Uncle Drew comes out in like 2 weeks. You know what? I'll go see the screening. I think that I should definitely go and see.
Yeah,
review it.
Just because it's got Kyrie Irving and we're in Boston, yes, you should go to the screening
without a doubt. And I just hope. hope that, you know, here's the one thing, is it, what if it just like doesn't know its audience? Like, what if it's like too dirty to bring like kids, but it's like not dirty
enough?
What
is it rated?
Oh, that's a good question. It's probably like PG-13. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. It's got to be. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't even know why the rating PG-13 exists. Like, if it's PG-13, like, what? Like, you're not going to take your kid?
Like, what's the... Well, I don't. For most, I used to not. Now I have an older kid who does. Yeah, I do.
For what reason, though?
It's too violent, too scary.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's one thing. But that has... But I can judge that not based on the rating. Like, what language in a PG-13 movie is going to be something your children haven't heard?
I think you're allowed to have, what, one F-bomb in a PG-13 movie?
Yeah,
I think it's like one F-bombs and a bunch of S-bombs.
Yeah, regardless. I mean, who's that stopping? No, the scary meter, you can, I understand that, but you can judge that not even based on rating.
Well, this is going to be a ridiculous deal that's going to be made, because apparently people in the NBA think Marvin Bagley III is going to be a huge deal. Because according to The Athletic, they said that Bagley's going to be signing a five-year deal with Puma. That's expected to be the largest rookie shoe deal since Kevin Durant. Now, if you want any kind of frame of reference, Durant inked a 7-year, $60 million deal as a rookie in 2007. So what does that say? This guy's probably going to get like $80 million? Puma?
I bet they all wish they could go back and just give Steph Curry anything that he wanted.
Oh, without a doubt.
Last NBA player to sign a Puma shoe contract.
Ooh, good
question.
Okay, not
Ralph. Ralph Sampson was Fila.
Puma?
No, he was Puma. Was Ralph Sampson Fila or Puma? I think he was Puma. All right, so...
All I know is that it all went downhill after D. Brown did the Reebok pumps.
Yes.
That really should have ended it all. It's like, you can't do better than that.
All right, so...
Ooh, Puma. I have no idea. What year was it?
1998.
Ooh.
Is it a star?
At the time, it was.
Oh, it's got to be like Larry Johnson or
something. No, Larry Johnson had a big
Converse
shoe contract. Yeah.
Converse, right? He did? Okay.
Was it
No, it was Nike. It was Grandmama.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Muggsy Bogues?
No.
No, that's before
that. That would have been before that, 98.
Believe it or not, he signed his contract in 1998. He's still playing.
Sam Cassell.
No.
Still on an NBA team.
From North Carolina. From North Carolina.
Jason Terry.
No. It's the guy from North Carolina. Vince Carter.
Vince Carter.
Correct.
Okay. Yes, thank you. All right. Uruguay just scored and Bird went nuts.
Uruguay scored in the 90th minute, Fred.
And Bird was going insane.
You're not hanging out with the bankroll boys, are you? You don't have money on this, do you?
No, it's just Everett loves Uruguay.
Does Bird really care about this?
No, he was going nuts. I figured because he was staring at the TV going nuts. And it was Uruguay
scored inside the post after Egypt had an indirect kick right outside the penalty area.
No, listen to
the
that.
Other end.
Someone's angling for a revolution job.
Damn right.
There's nothing like when you turn the radio station on a Sunday and the Revolution are playing. There's nothing that says, hey, let's get out the phone faster than
big
that.
Big win over San Jose. Big draw with San Jose a couple of nights ago.
Hey, why not? You know? Why not?
Unbeaten in the last five matches, Fred.
That's right.
Yep. It's-